This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
You know, usually when we look back at major technological arms races, there's this expectation of a relentless, almost blind pursuit of raw power.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, think about the space race. The strategy was basically to just keep building bigger rockets, adding millions of gallons of fuel, and, you know, shooting for a further planet.
Yeah.
Completely regardless of the price tag.
Right. It becomes a game of absolute maximums.
Yeah.
Whoever builds the biggest, smartest, fastest machine just wins the era.
And as an observer, it's thrilling. I mean, we love watching the titans of tech dupe it out for the title of the most intelligent system on Earth.
It's a great spectator sport.
It really is.
Yeah.
But if you step into the reality of the AI industry right now, today, in July 2026, that massive budget-guzzling rocket ship is it's quietly being swapped out.
Yeah, completely swapped out.
Instead, the industry is pivoting toward building, like, a fleet of hyper-efficient, budget-friendly commuter cars.
The paradigm has entirely shifted. The era of just throwing unlimited computing power and, you know, venture capital cash at a problem is ending right before our eyes. We are officially entering the era of tactical AI.
So welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is decoding the sudden, massive pivot that is happening all around us. The AI arms race is no longer just about who is the smartest. It's about who is the most cost-effective, and critically, who is the most legally nimble.
Because honestly, if you're still playing by the rules of 2024, assuming capability is the only metric that matters, you're going to find yourself holding a very, very expensive bag.
Exactly. And to guide us through this, our deep dive today is built on a July 8, 2026 AI Daily briefing provided by our commentator, lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
It's a fantastic brief.
It really is. It synthesizes breaking news from Bloomberg, CNBC, Axios, and a flurry of recent highly consequential government announcements.
Yeah, it provides a remarkably clear snapshot of what is, frankly, a very chaotic moment in the tech timeline.
So whether you are a developer trying to build the next killer app, a business leader looking at an exploding software budget, or just an insanely curious learner trying to understand where the digital world is heading, we are going to equip you with the exact strategies and global context you need.
Because navigating this new landscape where price tags and regulatory red tape rule the day, it requires a totally new playbook.
So true. Let's start with what I think is the most revealing piece of news in the briefing. The great model migration. We have to talk about Microsoft.
The Bloomberg report.
Right. So according to Bloomberg, Microsoft is actively stripping out OpenAI and Anthropic models from their massive enterprise products. We're talking foundational tools here, like Excel and Outlook.
It's like everyday stuff.
Exactly. And they are replacing them with their own in-house MAI models to process tens of thousands of requests every single week.
This is just a remarkable pivot. I mean, Microsoft practically bankrolled the frontier model revolution.
Yeah.
They are the ones who put these massive world-class models on the map, and now they are actively walking away from them for their core applications.
I was really trying to wrap my head around the business logic here. And imagine a world-famous high-end cafe. They've built their entire reputation on serving these ultra-premium imported hand-roasted coffee beans.
Sounds expensive.
Right, and customers line up around the block for it. But then management looks at the daily spreadsheet and says, you know what? For the free drip coffee refills we give out with breakfast, we're just going to brew our own generic wholesale beans.
Right, they want to save a few cents per cup.
Exactly. So is this just Microsoft being cheap, or is this the bursting of the frontier model bubble entirely?
I'd say it's a strategic survival mechanism. Mustafa Suleiman, Microsoft's AI head, actually hinted at cutting their Anthropic spending back in June.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And now we are seeing the live execution of that strategy. Because as the prices for access to top-tier models from external research labs remain just stubbornly high, companies are realizing they cannot build sustainable software if they don't control their own margins.
Because if you rely entirely on an external lab for your AI, they dictate your profit margins. Like, if they raise prices, you just take the hit.
Precisely. By Microsoft shifting to its MAI models, they aggressively lower the per-request cost, and they shrink the overhead of their Copilot features.
Mm-hmm.
They are severing that dependence for everyday tasks.
To go back to your, or rather my cafe analogy, using a massive top-tier frontier model to draft a three-sentence reply in Outlook is like using a supercomputer to do basic arithmetic.
Right. It's functional overkill, and the compute costs are staggering.
Which leads us to something even bigger, because this is absolutely not just a Microsoft phenomenon. U.S. corporate developers are fleeing to Chinese open-source AI models in absolute droves.
Let's look at the hard data from CNBC on this, covering the OpenRouter platform.
Yeah, and for those of you listening who might not build AI apps, OpenRouter is this platform that lets developers access and route user requests to various different AI models all in one place. It's a great barometer for what developers are actually choosing to use daily.
And the shift on that platform is undeniable. The share of tokens used by U.S. companies going to Chinese models crossed 30% back in February. And recently, it hit a staggering 46%.
Wow, nearly half.
Yeah, nearly half of the volume from U.S. developers on this platform is flowing to Chinese models.
Let's pause and just define what we mean by tokens here, just so we are all on the same page. Mm. Whenever we talk about tokens, think of them as the basic currency the AI uses to read and write. A token is roughly a syllable or a fragment of a word.
Right. And every time you send a prompt and every time the AI replies, you are paying by the token.
So if developers are processing billions of syllables a day, the price per token becomes the only thing that matters. And the briefing highlights that models like DeepSeek and Zippu AI's GLM 5.2, they are 60 to 90% cheaper than the top tier models from OpenAI and Anthropic.
When you are offering a 90% discount, you are no longer just offering a competitive price. You are offering a completely different financial reality for a startup.
Right.
Zippu AI's GLM 5.2 launched in June, and the market response was just violent. In its very first week, its daily token volume exploded 27 times over. They saw an 80-fold increase in customers.
But surely the quality is taking a hit at a 90% discount, right? Like, you can't just slash prices that deeply without losing functionality.
You would think so, but the gap is closing rapidly.
Mm.
GLM 5.2 is delivering performance that is incredibly close to models like Opus 4.8 on agent benchmarks.
Let me stop you there. What exactly makes an agent benchmark different from, like, a standard AI test?
Well, a standard benchmark might test if an AI can accurately summarize a PDF or write a poem.
Mm-hmm.
An agent benchmark tests if the AI can act as an independent, autonomous agent.
Oh, okay. Like doing multiple things on its own.
Exactly. Can you give it a complex, multi-step goal? Like find this data on the web, cross-reference it with this internal document, and format it into a presentation. And can it execute that without you holding its hand? Chinese models are now performing these high-level autonomous tasks at a fraction of the traditional cost.
Which perfectly explains the incredible example the briefing gives about a U.S. startup called Lindy. In June, they shifted 100% of their traffic away from Claude and moved it entirely to DeepSeek. They're claiming this single infrastructure change will save them millions of dollars in a matter of months.
Millions.
Yeah.
And that is capital that can now go into marketing, hiring, or simply surviving a turbulent economic year. The industry as a whole is basically abandoning the pursuit of peak theoretical performance in favor of finding sufficient performance at a massive discount.
Okay, so if you are a developer and you want those savings, but you still need your app to output really high quality, natural sounding results for your end user, how do you manage that? You can't just serve the generic wholesale coffee and expect the premium customers to stick around.
That is where the engineering gets very creative. Developers are utilizing what's called the handoff technique. They aren't abandoning premium models entirely, they're just using them surgically.
So they are blending the models, using a cheap one for the heavy lifting and an expensive one for the polish.
Think of it like building a house. You don't hire a master artisan woodworker to pour the concrete foundation. You hire a specialized, cost-effective crew for the foundation, and you save the expensive artisan for the custom cabinetry.
That makes a lot of sense.
In the AI workflow, developers might use a highly structured, strict model to pour the foundation,
mm-hmm.
you know, gathering the data, structuring the logic, adhering to the complex rules.
That's the heavy lifting that requires thousands and thousands of tokens, which they do on the cheap.
Exactly. Then they take that raw structured output and hand it over to a premium Anthropic model, perhaps one of the top tier Claude variants, which excels at smoothing out long texts and making them read beautifully.
Wow, okay.
By splitting the task, you optimize both your server costs and the final quality.
The big US players obviously see this happening, though. They see their market share bleeding out to cheaper alternatives. So how are they fighting back? Because they can't just drop their prices to zero.
No, they can't. They are fighting back with speed and highly specialized hardware. The briefing notes that GPT 5.6 Sol is nearing its full release. It's been in a restricted preview with about 20 U.S. government-approved partners since June 26.
But the real story isn't just the model itself, right? It's what it is running on. GPT 5.6 Sol is operating on Cerebra's wafer-scale hardware.
Let's break down why that hardware actually matters. If you picture a standard data center, you have thousands of individual graphics processing units, or GPUs, stacked in racks. To process a massive AI model, they have to constantly send data back and forth across physical cables.
Which takes time.
Yeah, it creates a traffic jam, a latency bottleneck. A standard GPU cluster running a heavy model might give you an output speed of, say, 40 to 120 tokens per second.
Which is fast. But if the AI is doing complex background tasks, the user is still sitting there watching a loading bar spin.
Right. Cerebras changes the architecture. Instead of thousands of small chips, they build a single massive chip the size of a dinner plate, a wafer-scale chip. Because all the processing happens on one continuous piece of silicon, the traffic jams disappear.
And the numbers reflect that. The preview is heading up to 750 tokens per second.
It's incredibly fast.
That fundamentally changes what an AI can do in real time. It goes from a chatbot to an instant operating system, and supposedly it costs half as much as Claude Fable 5.
But there is a catch. Early tech reviews from July 7 are warning that while the output is blindingly fast, there are serious benchmark reliability issues. It is generating code at those high speeds, but the accuracy is inconsistent.
Which means the technology is volatile. And if the technology is volatile, your business foundation is volatile. This transitions perfectly into a critical point raised by former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim in his commentary. Because these models are changing in price and capability overnight, the biggest battlefield for a company isn't the IT department anymore, it is the legal department.
Yes. You simply cannot separate the code from the contract in this environment.
Let's look at today's news. Today, July 8, Claude Fable 5 is actively being dropped from basic subscription plans and moved to a separate credit-based billing system. Just like that, the pricing structure flipped.
Just overnight.
Right. If you budgeted your entire quarter based on yesterday's subscription price, you are in trouble today.
This is exactly what former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim is warning about. If you are a business leader bringing AI services into your company, vendor lock-in is a death sentence. You absolutely cannot sign contracts that lock you into one specific model for an extended period.
Because pricing policies can flip in days.
Exactly. You have to build flexibility into your contracts so that if a provider changes their pricing policy overnight, or if their new update suddenly has reliability issues, you can pivot your tech stack legally without paying massive penalties. You have to be able to swap out the engine while the car is driving.
It requires building agile infrastructure from the code base all the way up to corporate procurement. But, you know, contracts only protect you from a vendor changing their mind. What protects you from a government changing the law overnight?
Oh, that's a whole different beast.
Because when we zoom out, the global regulatory map is fracturing just as fast as the technology.
The rules of the road are entirely dependent on what border you are crossing right now.
Let's set the global stage in Geneva. Today, the United Nations and the ITU's AI for Good Global Commission is holding its very first meeting, and the guest list is a who's who of global power. We have Salesforce CEO Marc Benioff and Rwandan President Paul Kagame co-chairing.
And they are joined by NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, Amazon's Andy Jassy, Microsoft's Brad Smith, and Anthropic's Jack Clark. It is a very rare collision of the tech titans actually building the systems and the global policymakers trying to manage them.
And they are tackling massive topics: AI infrastructure, food security, disaster response, and safety. But while they are talking about global unity in Geneva, the reality on the ground is totally divided. Lawyer Kyungjin Kim introduces a core observation here. The United States and China are running in completely opposite regulatory directions.
They are adopting fundamentally different philosophies on how a state should interact with artificial intelligence.
The U.S. approach seems very hands-off, like it's entirely cooperative. The White House is pushing a voluntary standard for frontier AI model releases, stemming from an executive order back on June 2.
Right. So by August 1, agencies like the Treasury, the NSA, and CISA are tasked with creating cyber capability benchmarks. They're basically defining what a dangerous capability looks like from a national security perspective.
Okay, and if a model crosses that line?
If a model crosses that threshold and is designated as a target frontier model,
yeah.
Developers have the option to give the government up to 30 days of pre-release access.
But again, it's optional. It's a collaborative coordination gate, not a mandatory licensing regime. In fact, GPT 5.6 Sol is the first model to actively pass through this government coordination process. So the U.S. is basically saying, hey, please work with us. Let's keep things safe together.
A very light touch.
But then you look at the Chinese approach. Their new regulations take effect in just 7 days, on July 15th. It's called the AI Anthropomorphic Interaction Service Management Provisional Measures.
It is a highly specific, deeply targeted piece of legislation that goes way beyond standard data privacy.
Yeah, when I read this part of the briefing, I actually had to stop and reread it to make sure I understood it correctly. They aren't just regulating data or cybersecurity. They are actively regulating emotions.
Yes, literally.
Hey.
They are regulating intimacy. The law specifically targets AI that is designed to mimic human personality, human thought processes, and communication for the purpose of sustained emotional interaction.
Wait, so if you just have a standard customer service bot that helps you, like, return a pair of shoes or an AI you use to summarize research papers, that is exempt, right?
Correct. Standard functional AI is fine. But if the AI is designed to form a bond, it is strictly regulated. I mean, this law outright bans virtual families and virtual pets for minors.
Banning virtual pets for kids? That is a massive shift in how we view software.
It goes further than that. It requires parental consent for any users under 14 to interact with these anthropomorphic systems. And if a service reaches over 1 million registered users or 100,000 monthly active users, it automatically triggers a mandatory national security assessment.
Wow. And this is where former lawmaker Kunjin Kim issues an urgent warning for international businesses. If you are a developer, especially a Korean business or any international team, and you are planning to export AI services to China, you cannot just translate your app into Mandarin and launch it.
No, absolutely not. You must evaluate these minor protection clauses immediately. If your language learning app has an AI tutor that acts a bit too much like a friendly companion, and you hit the Chinese market next week without passing these security thresholds, you are in direct violation of the law.
Which is terrifying for a startup. And just to complete the global puzzle, we have to touch on Europe. The EU AI Act's Digital Omnibus Package is moving forward, specifically Article 50, which deals with transparency obligations.
Right. Starting August 2, AI-generated content in the EU must carry clear labels. The critical detail here is that there is absolutely zero grace period.
Zero.
Zero. The grace periods that apply to other parts of the AI Act do not apply to Article 50. The transparency guidelines are being finalized right now, and enforcement is immediate.
So if you are generating content in Europe, you have less than a month to get your labeling systems perfectly compliant.
Better start coding.
Seriously. Well, let's take a breath and look at the incredible journey we've been on today. The era of AI being purely about chasing the highest intelligence, you know, throwing endless computing power at a wall to see what sticks, that era is over.
The industry has rapidly matured. It's now a business of margins, clever strategy, and rigid compliance.
Today, it is about value for money. It's about a giant like Microsoft brewing its own generic AI to save a few cents on the dollar. It's about developers mastering strategic model handoffs, using a cheap model for the heavy lifting and an expensive model for the final polish.
Yeah.
And it is about demanding bulletproof contracts that avoid vendor lock-in because the tech and the pricing can flip in 24 hours. And of course, navigating a deeply fractured regulatory map.
A map where the U.S. asks for voluntary cooperation. The EU demands absolute transparency with zero grace period, and China steps in to regulate human emotional attachment.
Which is just a wild concept to wrap your head around.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think it leaves us with an important question to mull over after we wrap up today.
Yeah.
We started this deep dive talking about the AI arms race, right?
Yeah.
About raw computing power and budget cuts. But look at what China's doing. If a global superpower feels the absolute legal necessity to ban AI from acting as a virtual family member or a virtual pet for a child,
yeah.
What does that say about the profound psychological power these models already possess?
That is a great point. It says the technology is already deeply embedded in the human experience.
Exactly. While tech companies are currently fighting over pennies per token and hardware latency speeds, the societal impact of AI, its ability to authentically mimic human intimacy and create real emotional dependency, it's already forcing international law to adapt. The technology isn't just changing how we format spreadsheets. It is potent enough to change human relationships.
It's no longer just a budget-friendly commuter car. It's a commuter car that knows exactly how to make you feel loved. And that might be the most powerful and the most complicated feature of all. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into lawyer Kunjin Kim's briefing. Keep questioning the information around you, check your contracts, and we will see you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.